friggin' what up, dude. Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. Gonna be called History is Dying.
History is dying with Strider Wilson. Dennis from the past.
Friggin' what up, dude. Fired up for another ep of History is Friggin' Dying right now, dude. And dude, I am, as always, we got Aaron on the sticks. What up, Aaron?
What up?
Chilling, dude. And today, dude, we got an extra special treat, dude. We got my dong, dude. My dong. My penis is in my pants for this episode. It's out, dude. Dude, we got my dog, dude. Freudian slip, dude, because my dong gets hard when he's here because I'm so pumped up, dude. We got the legend, the savant of Stoke, Chad Kroger in the house, dude.
What's up, dude?
Dude, Dylan, dude.
Dude, with the intro song and then just so much energy. We got my dong in the building, dude.
Dude, I got an extra special treat. I'm coming at you with a boner right now, dude.
Dude, we got my dong coming at you, bro. A special treat.
Yeah, just look
to,
out, dude.
It cuts to a frame of just your hog.
Just a little, like a little... plop on the table, dude. If it was Maurice, he'd just be like...
Yeah, it'd break through the table. And just
the fucking Kool-Aid dong, dude. Dude, today we're going to be talking something dang, dude. We're going to be talking some conspiratorial shit, dude.
Sorry.
No, dude. Hey, we're having a nice time.
Yeah.
Dude,
I'm fired up for this episode.
For laughing. Dude, let's go.
I'm so fired up for this episode. Baby, this is stuff I love, baby.
I can't, dude. I came to you. I'm like, dude, let's talk about something. What's good, dude? And you were like, dude, UFOs, bro. And I was like, hell yes. And then I thought of my childhood, a movie that made me lose sleep, many years of sleep. I would say a decade's worth of sleep. Fire in the Sky. And then I said that and you go, oh, bro, Travis Walton. And I go, who? I didn't even know the character's name and actually the real life person's name.
Yeah.
So it's friggin' sick as hell. We're going to get into that. But before that, dude, typically what we do is like a little bit of personal news, personal recent history, dude. What's fucking crapping in, dude? What's good?
Oh, dude, good
like
question.
What, like, I mean, you know, anything. Doesn't have to be history related, just what's going down, dude?
Dude, I'd say the biggest thing going on in my life right now is I've just been cranking out hot yoga.
Oh.
Just boning down on that shavasana.
Let's go, dude.
Yeah, and it's been great. Yeah, I've been doing probably 2 or 3 classes a week, and really just, you know, starting off my morning right. And Sundays I do it at 4 p.m. and just sweat it out. They say you sweat to glow, and that's pretty much what I've been doing. And it feels great. Bro, are you a yoga guy?
You know what? I want to be, dude. I truly, they call it your discipline, and I don't have the discipline, dude. Like I get a little bit bored. My mind wanders. You know, I'll start thinking about, you know, someone who cut me off on the way over in traffic or, you know, a bad joke that didn't land with my dank fiance or something, even though she loves me. And I'll be like, you know, I wish that would have gone better. You know, or if I left a room on a good joke, George Costanza style. And I'll just start thinking of that and really won't be in the flow.
Right.
It's tough for me to get into it. And I do prefer generally lifting weights, but... you're doing hot yoga.
Well, the hot, and I think the one that's tough is the one I do on Sundays. It's an hour and a half, and it's like the one where you have to like hold poses, you know?
So gnarly.
It's Bikram, but I guess Bikram was kind of a fucking rapscallion, in other words, he's a rapist.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they had to rename it. Now it's 26 and 2, because it's 26 poses, and you do them twice. But apparently he was like sexually assaulting a lot of people, and Jesus. He stole... the whole routine from this other like yogi grandmaster, so he's a complete fraud.
Oh, dude.
But he's just living in Mexico,
so he's free.
Yeah, Mexico's like, yeah, you're cool, man. So he's just living in Mexico, just doing yoga still. But
squirmy little guy, dude. Yeah, stretched across the border.
I mean,
and
you could probably
sneaked.
Do a good episode on that. Yeah,
that'd be a great thing. What year? So he's. I thought Bikram yoga would be something from so long ago.
Yeah, I think he probably came out within like the 80s or 70s or something like that.
Interesting.
And then I think he was like, it started coming out that he was like a serious sex offender.
Unchill.
And that he stole it.
Not even more unchill, doubly unchill.
But I gotta say, the routine is fire.
That's awesome, dude. And holding those poses, and you look absolutely fucking shredded right now.
Oh,
dude.
Thank you, dude.
Thank you,
just gotta sweat out that water, man.
Amen, dude. Right now I'm sipping on a nice sparkling water, dude. I'm into sparkling waters, I guess. I've actually been saying that a lot on here. Maybe for myself, what I'm fired up on is I'm going to cruise my fantasy draft in Utah.
Right,
it's gonna
that's
be
tomorrow.
Sick as hell, yeah, with the boys, dude. We're going out.
So sick.
Gonna eat some dank steaks, dude. Gonna draft some drink some brews, and draft, dude. Just have a nice time, dude. Mm-hmm.
Got to go to Moab,
dude.
Moab
would be sick. We're gonna be like kind of closer to Park City. We're gonna be like in Peoa. Is that what I think it's called? Not like meadowy, dude.
Not Moab.
Yeah, different looking climate, dude. But very, you know, breathing fresh air. You can yell out into the wilderness. And it has a vibe of where you could see some aliens out there.
Dude, that's
you
what
know?
I'm talking about.
Like you're alone in the woods, bro.
Would you want to see an alien?
I would like to see one.
Yeah.
If I knew I would just be seeing it and not get abducted or like anything like that,
mm-hmm.
I'd be down, dude. Mm-hmm. I'll be so down.
Yeah.
I'd be scared as hell. I wouldn't want, and I'm envisioning me seeing it with a few of my boys, like maybe me and you are together.
Yeah.
Like maybe on a glamping trip.
Yeah.
You know, with some good Wi-Fi after we did some river rafting that day.
Yeah.
With our lids off and just getting sun-kissed and, you know, enjoying the rapids.
Right.
And then at night in our cabin, we saw a strange light and we went outside and saw like a sick-ass saucer and a sick-ass gray alien cruise down and just mm-hmm. throw a shock of what up at us or something.
Yeah.
But maybe they only have three fingers.
Yeah, like, what up, dudes? I'm from Nebulon.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah.
I would not want to see one in my bedroom alone at night.
Dude, yeah. Here's the biggest question, though.
What up?
If you saw one, would you tell the world?
That's a great question, dude.
Because it's a huge burden.
Exactly,
and
bro.
And you're probably going to be ridiculed.
Yeah,
people are going to question your integrity.
100%.
And your dong.
Big time.
Yeah.
And it's tough to get. I can't exactly. For my dong, I can drop trowel and be like, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Look how little it is.
Mm-hmm.
Look. For alien sighting, I can't be like, look at this little dude. He's mm-hmm. still right here.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be back out in space.
Yeah, he's going back to Nebulon.
Yeah. What up, dude? Real quick, this podcast is brought to you by American Giants, best-selling premium slub tees, dude. Iconic silhouettes made in the right way, dude, with quality care and right here in the U.S. of A, dude. I'm wearing mine right now, dude, and I'm fired up on it, dude. It's got that heavyweight slub fabric, rich and varied texture. I put it on, dude, and I feel it on, dude, and then it becomes part of me. It's a freaking dank shirt, dude. So get your new favorite tees at AmericanGiant.com today and use promo code DANK for 15% off your first order. That's 15% off when you use code DANK at American-Giant.com. That's 15% off when you use code DANK at American-Giant.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Talkspace. If you're feeling overwhelmed lately, you're not alone. Start feeling better with a single message. Talkspace Online Therapy matches you with a licensed therapist from the comfort of your device. It's good to talk to someone. It's good to talk with a pro. And it's good to talk with someone that you're vibing with and you match with. And that's what Talkspace does. So get $100 off your first month with code DANK at Talkspace.com. And then people say, I mean, dude, for the conspiratorial aspect of it, it's like Walton is still Travis Walton. He was the dude from Fire in the Sky. And he's who we're talking about today. People didn't believe him and still don't believe him. It's now been, what, how many years later? This was 75.
1975. Yeah. What is that?
50, dude?
It's around there.
Yeah, 47.
Yeah.
It's gnarly, dude.
It's crazy. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life, though?
Dude, just happy, stoked for the draft.
Oh, yeah, you told me the draft. Yeah,
that. Been going into Starbucks. I was at Starbucks in the airport, and those places suck.
Mm.
It's the worst. There's something worse about a Starbucks in the airport than one not. Yeah. And I had this like thought when I'm sleeping at night of like, that should be the new jail. Like there shouldn't be jail. Like if you murder someone, you should go to jail, or this Bikram guy should go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have like a misdemeanor or something like that, you should just go work at Starbucks at the airport, dude.
Go work. Oof.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's a bust working there. Maybe a regular one's fine. Boutique coffee shops are cool. I feel like, you know, hot kids should work there and for their summer jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe not kids, like 18-year-olds, you know, keep it right.
Yeah.
You know, and they should all like go solve a mystery together on some bikes and they should have a show. But like, I feel like for airport Starbucks, it'll change you if you work there, I think.
Yeah. And to the specifics of the order, you know, it's like people are going to come at you for that. They're like, I said, two pumps.
Exactly.
Two pumps vanilla.
Bro, people are stressed traveling.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there, but they need their fix.
Mm-hmm.
The employees don't want to be there, but they have to do it, churn it out. It's a nightmare, dude.
Dude, I was in the airport recently. It was a smaller airport. They had a Pete's and a Starbucks. I was like, I'm going to opt for the Pete's right now. I go to the Pete's. The Pete's is closed. at 8 a.m.
What?
I was like, what is going on here? I look at this guy literally next to me because he's staring at it with me, just like bewildered. And he's like, I'm like, dude, is it closed? He's like, yeah. I'm like, why? He's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, dude, what?
And so I'm like, all right, it's going to be a double up time at Starbucks. I go to Starbucks. The line is literally down the, you know, fucking walkway.
Mm-hmm.
Two gates.
Mm-hmm.
Two gates long.
You know, you should have a boarding time for your Starbucks order, dude.
Exactly. And I stayed in the line. I stayed in the line for, you know, probably 20 minutes. Didn't even get to get a coffee because it barely moved. And then I just had to board the plane.
Oh, what a horrendous experience, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Probably Pete's closed because they ran out, dude. Because everyone in the morning just went to Pete's. They go, not doing that.
Yeah.
All the early birds got the worms.
Right. Can you imagine being the employee there, though, with that line at Starbucks where you're just like, oh.
Disaster, dude.
Yeah. It's not like you get like extra points for dealing with that shit.
Hell no. No one tips.
No.
Like Starbucks, no, people don't tip at Starbucks.
Yeah, so like, what am I going to tip Starbucks?
Yeah. I got my rewards thing right here. It's on my phone. I don't think about it. It lets me, it's impersonal.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's gnarly, dude. Soon it's going to be automation, bro. The robots are going to take over, you know.
The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's the future, dude. But right now, we're talking about Travis Walton's past, dude.
Yes.
And we watched this movie. We did research together, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice movie date. I brought Sunny over. You made some dank popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this was not a good movie, dude.
It's pretty bad.
Dude, it's so bad.
Well, the thing, too, is like, it's about alien abduction, but the actual scenes with aliens and abduction, probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. It's pretty intense. That scene's intense.
Yeah.
And dude, they do such a good job of making the aliens look all like grumpy.
Yeah.
They're like,
oh. Yeah.
Oh, and the technology they have is like kind of bad.
Yeah. And they're like, the places in, you're like, what is this, like an Egyptian tomb?
Dude, yeah, exactly, bro. Like, it doesn't look like anything I would imagine a UFO looks like.
Yeah.
And you said Travis Walton said like that kind of, a lot of that's embellished in the movie.
Well, I think the main thing he said is that like, in the movie, the aliens are kind of hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing like weird experiments on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was not how it went down for me.
Oh.
Which is, because I first heard about him on Joe Rogan last year. He was talking about, he's like, the main message I want to get across is don't be afraid. Like, you know, because he says in his experience, they were very, you know, kind of just docile. And he's like, and from his perspective, he's like, if they have the technology to be here, and if they've been here for that long, and there's lots of stories of abductions and sightings and stuff, and mm-hmm. who knows how many are valid, whatever, he's like, if they have had the means to be here for this long and their technology is that advanced, they probably would have attacked by now.
For sure.
That was his logic.
Yeah, if they wanted to probe everyone's butt, they could probe everyone's butt.
Here's the thing, maybe they have.
That's true.
We just don't know.
Yeah. Here's what I would want to say, too, about disbelief of getting abducted. Sure, mm-hmm. I bet some people have lied. Sure, yeah. I bet some people want the credit. But that doesn't mean all other ones are negated. It doesn't mean that's what everyone's doing it for.
Yeah.
So I've heard that some people say like it's a, sometimes the mind will, I was reading this article about Betty and Barney Hill. Have you heard of theirs?
Yeah, that was like the first one, right?
Yeah, they like set the abduction genre, they call it, right?
Yeah.
And like they gave Betty like a pregnancy test or whatever, and they were just saying like the mind, and they're very imaginative people and like high IQ, and they're like, because of that, the brain, when it's creating a memory, like it's, the brain like will work in a way like where you'll believe part of a story, but you'll fill in the other gaps to make it make sense in your mind. So maybe like a portion of that's true, and they were like sleep deprived and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just people trying to go, you know, rationalize this type of stuff. But then there's always the possibility, but what happened happened.
Well, what's their story? Because there's something about their story that's unexplainable, right?
They were cruising back from like super late. This was like in the 60s. Maybe the 50s, like from New Hampshire to their home in Vermont, alone on a highway, like 2 a.m., this light starts tracing them in the sky. The dude was like a World War II pilot, Benny, and then they finally pull over, and they're like, what the hell? And then they see like some little gray aliens, is what they call them, like looking at them, big eyes, and then they like lose track of time after that.
Hmm.
And then they like recall later, like, oh, Betty was in the ship, and like one of the aliens like joked with her about like, she's like, where am I? And he's like, well, if you don't know where you are, it's not going to make a difference if I tell you where where I am right now.
Hmm.
And she remembers that being funny. Yeah, exactly. And then they said they would like, you know, use probes or big needles and nothing that like really hurt, but was just kind of, actually the pregnancy test she said really hurt, but I don't know what piece of information didn't exactly like check up in their story besides, you know, the whole entire abduction.
Yeah.
But like they lost track of time and ended up, basically it was only 2 hours. Travis Walton was like 5 days.
5 days, yeah.
Theirs was like 2 hours, but they moved like 34 miles without knowing it.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. And the car was left back there and they're like, that'd be too hard to get that amount of mileage in that amount of time.
Yeah. And then they did hypnosis, right? Which yes. they did on Travis too. A lot of these stories are sort of like they have the hypnosis to like, you know, verify the story or just see to really see what happened because it's like buried in your subconscious. And then there's lots of lie detector tests in the Travis mm-hmm. Walton case because there are
yeah.
seven witnesses of the craft. And they basically all had the same story.
Yeah.
All passed the lie detector test.
And that's yeah. very interesting. Like, yeah, all seven dudes are on the same page. It's like, I could barely even tell you like who hit the rebuttal cup at a Pong party, you know,
yeah.
if I'm a little bit faded. And they're under a lot of stress seeing this, cruising mm-hmm. down a road after doing, you know, straight up lumberjacking and like outside Flagstaff is where it was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy like that all those details match up and independent of one another.
Yeah. I can't remember where we golfed last. I just remember we were golfing, but I don't know where it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, where was that, dude?
I don't know.
We were cruising out with Kenward. We jumped around a few holes.
Oh, La Cañada.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough-ass course, dude.
Yeah. But, I mean, if a lie detector was like, where were you, or were you at La Cañada, I would have been like, I think.
Yeah. I think I was. Like, I was out on a golf course.
Yeah.
But where? And I've been there a different time, and could my brain, blend those two memories together?
Yeah.
And it was like the other time JT was there, and I'd be like, no, he was there, but really he wasn't, but he had been there.
Right.
It gets tricky, bro.
The mind.
And then you're stressed out, and then you're involving aliens. Do you believe? I do. Do you believe that aliens are out there?
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. Look how big the universe is.
Yeah.
Do you believe they've been to this earth?
Yes.
I bet they have.
Yeah.
Do you believe they abduct people, though?
I do.
They might.
I think I believe the Travis Walton case.
You believe?
You know, our buddy, I when I heard him on Rogan, I was like, I mean, I'm pretty gullible, but when I heard him, I was like, totally believe him.
Really?
He got abducted. But then our buddy Dan Lucchese,
mm-hmm.
who's really into UFOs, and he's on like a more of a debunking kick right now. You know, around the time of springtime, he was like fully into, he's like, they're here. All these sightings are for real. But then he's on a debunking kick because he's been watching this guy, Mick West, who debunks all those UFO sightings. And he told me in passing, you know, he didn't really get into the details, but he's like, I watched something that debunked the Travis Walton case. But after listening to him and then like all the, how there's like a crew of seven guys who also saw, I'm like, I don't know. And then listening to him on Rogan, I was like, I think it happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the Betty and Barney Hill case, like the argument is like, he believes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would only just be like it never happened or a suppressed memory or something. I think that's why they use hypnosis.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think he's lying.
Yeah.
There's a chance that maybe his brain filled in something and some other stressful thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would be out there just being in the woods alone though. Like what would happen? Like what?
Yeah. And also like, on top of that, like them being the first, it's like, how do you... It's easier when it's like you hear about alien abduction stories and then if you like are kind of like hungry for attention or whatever, you can make up that story or whatever.
Yes.
But if if it's like the 60s and there aren't really any stories about alien abductions and it's kind of not really in the zeitgeist, like I think coming up with that and I don't know, it seems a little, I think you got to think about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Them being the first, and it doesn't seem like there are a couple that was seeking attention or fame or anything.
No, they say they were like irrational people. They were, yeah, just kind of chilling, going on their delayed honeymoon and
yeah.
doing their thing. And then Travis Walton's just like a lumberjack dude. Like he's not, yeah. they call him like, they refer to him as like the reluctant celebrity or something, you know?
Yeah.
And there's this like little article where he's like, he basically says, because you watch the movie and he gets out of the truck and you're like, bro, why are you getting out of the truck?
Yeah.
You're like, no. Like, you see the ship, the way they present it, you're like, dude, that's terrifying. I'm not going near that.
Yeah.
He just says he was awestruck and entranced by the beauty of the thing. He says, I thought it would take off, but it didn't, and I didn't appreciate the danger I was in.
Yeah.
Freaking knocks him down with like a ray of light, dude.
Yeah, so should we get into the details of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So so Travis Walton's a lumberjack. He's with a crew of 7 loggers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out in Arizona near Flagstaff, mm-hmm. one of your favorite places.
Love it. Near the freaking G Canyon, dude.
And they're, you know, cutting down trees all day. Some of them are beefing, as we saw in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, Alan, he's like, yeah, bro. He's like, Travis, you're a fucking chucklehead.
Yeah, he calls him chucklehead. He cuts down a tree, dude, and almost kills Travis as a prank, and he goes, yeah. Timber.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, yeah, hilarious joke, bro.
Oh, my bad, dude.
Yeah, whoops.
So they're out there, and then at the end of the night, so it's nighttime, and they're driving home, all 7 of them in the same truck, and they see like a glowing. They come to a clearing and there's a glowing that they say just like lit up the forest, even brighter than like daylight.
Mm.
And I think they come upon it. And he says in the Joe Rogan podcast that there were other witnesses that saw the glowing as well.
Oh.
And so it's like this huge glowing. He says like an eerie kind of light. Then they see this disc shaped, you know,
yes,
object. And they're all in the truck and they're just looking at it. And apparently Travis just like ran out towards it, I guess, because he was awestruck.
Yeah, stoked.
And then he's like staring at it. And I think he said he was probably like 10, 15 feet away. And then like a beam of light hits him, basically knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and they all drive away. And then the crew, they drive away because they're scared. But then they're like, we got to go back and get him. So they drive back and he's gone.
Gnarly.
And the ship's gone.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you know, the worst thing you can do is bail on your bros, you know?
Huge bail story.
Huge bail. But Travis did say later, he's like, look, I can't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
After his experience, he's like, dude, it was brave of them to come back as quickly as they did, unarmed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, unarmed gnarly. Too, yeah.
Just had some chainsaws, but there's no firepower there.
Right.
And, you know, the actor Mike is pretty banged up about it.
Super banged up.
You know, he beats himself up about it, and
you don't think I miss him?
Yeah,
I miss him heck.
Yeah, I miss him to heck. And then the movie goes. This dude gets abducted. So the most interesting thing that happens after too much exposition, then we just go into this whole like disbelief thing in town and follow like Mike and the other guys around,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, but I guess what the director thought was like, oh, everyone thinks he's probably dead, and then when he shows up, you're like, whoa, this is kind of cool again, right? He's back. So, but just took too long to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you get the scene where he like walks into the town hall meeting.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. I miss him bad.
What are you trying to say about me, huh? Yeah. You got something to say? You say it to my face.
Yeah, Benny, our kids are in class together, Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Lawrence, you teach that class. What are you trying to say? You think I killed Travis? Heck.
We passed the lie detector test. We've been guinea pigs for you from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You think I miss him heck?
Yeah, heck. Dude, every scene, everyone in that town eats breakfast out, dude. Everyone just goes to the diner and eats breakfast out. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And dude, wear nice vests. I was watching, everyone has a sick ass vest and a flannel. It's a good look.
I mean, dude, the main guy, not Travis, but the other guy, what's his name?
Mike Rutgers or something.
Dude, amazing flow.
Great flow. Handsome guy.
Yeah.
You know, in vanity and in hindsight, the casting, they could have put some more hot people in there.
They had one hot dude, but then the rest. I mean, his wife, I think, actually, after going through the whole story, I think it was a smart move to make the wife a little bit more, you know.
Really? Yeah. Oh,
Because they need a portrayer as sort of like mean.
Yeah, that's
true. My
voice
just cracked because I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, exactly. You're empathizing.
Yeah.
You know, physically and emotionally.
She was mean.
Yeah, she was mean to him, dude.
Yeah.
My friend's gone. You talk about money?
What do you think about money? Heck.
Not a good movie. I wish I could have heard Travis's interview when I was friggin' like 5 or however old I was when I saw this, and he told us to not be afraid. Because I was terrified, dude.
Yeah.
I remember that scene where the alien moves in the back when he's looking at the spacesuits and being so fucking scared, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I watching this right now?
It's terrifying.
My older siblings were like, this movie's pretty tight. It's aliens, dude. I'm like, then he shows back up.
Yeah, so he's gone for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows back up in the same clothes in a phone booth, calls his family. And he's like catatonic for weeks. And throughout that whole time, everyone thought the loggers, the six other dudes, killed him.
Yeah.
Because he just disappeared. And they're like, well, clearly you killed him. He didn't get abducted by aliens. But then he shows back up. And he's like, bro, I saw aliens. Mm-hmm. So. And I have some details for how his experience with the aliens.
Let's hear him. Absolutely. Let's not treat people the same way the movie did. Let's give it to him now.
So he woke up. He said he woke up lying on his back on a raised table. And he looks and he sees, like, he said he saw people. He saw these beings that, you know, had, like, they had eyes, mouth, nose, hairless. I think he sort of smaller. Mm-hmm. He woke up. He saw, you know, they weren't human-like, but they, like, you know, were aliens. They looked like aliens. And sort of like, I think he described them basically as what you see in sort of those drawings of, like, you know, Martians or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like Alien Workshop.
Hell yeah. Sick-ass brand.
Sick brand. Yeah. So sick. What up? Mm. And so he wakes up and he naturally just freaks out and he lashes at one of them and he, like, hits one of them and one of them falls back. So they all kind of, like, they all leave. And so after he freaks out and he sees all these things.
Of course.
He's in, like, a ship. He freaks out. Then a human-like figure comes in the room and he's like, I don't know if it was, like, because he said it was a human-like figure that could pass in a crowd. Mm. And it had, like, you know, kind of longish light hair and he's like, looked pretty human and had a glass helmet over its head and came in and then they I guess they carried him into another room and he's like, I don't know if I was on the base, on the ship, but as they carried him into another room, he saw like other like disc-like crafts in there and that's basically what he saw and he saw all these beings, you know, surrounding him and he felt really weak from the energy blast and then they put like a mask on his face and, you know, gassed him up and then he woke up on the road 5 days later.
Damn.
But I thought the human like creature was interesting.
Yeah.
And he said there was like a female in there too. And he's like, maybe they, you know, created this human like thing to sort of calm me down.
Right.
And he also said he felt something in his head that felt a little bit like, you know, a telepathic, an attempt to communicate with him telepathically, but it didn't really work.
Whoa. During this or post abduction? I think
during,
damn.
And then he took an MRI after because he didn't really have any visible injuries, but he did an MRI and like the EKG in his brain scan indicated that he like had an electric shock. So,
dude, there you go, bro.
Yeah. And his theory, since they like let him go, is that they accidentally like shot him with this thing, which probably would have killed him, and they brought him back to life and, like, you know, resuscitated him and then let him go.
So they were benevolent, dude.
Yeah, that's his theory.
I'd be fired up if they were benevolent. Dude, I mean, that's... hey, he's trying to piece it together. I mean, who knows what it is? Dude, we bag and tag sharks, bro.
Right.
We're aliens to sharks.
Right.
We're aliens to a lot of other creatures on this planet, dude.
Yeah.
Who's to say there aren't space aliens coming down?
And he says he's had more sightings since.
Really?
He said he was driving and, like... maybe it was Arizona or something. He saw like a black triangle in the sky.
Dude, so gnarly. Bro, the American Southwest, there's aliens cruising down there, dude.
Yeah, my mom lives there now.
Really?
Yeah.
Which part? Which state?
New Mexico.
Dude, New Mexico's awesome, man.
Yeah.
The land of enchantment.
Yeah. I next time I go, I'm like, Mom, we should go to... we're kind of far from Roswell, or she is. I want to go check out Roswell.
I'd love to see that. That's where they say the spacecraft crashed.
Yeah.
Say that 3 times fast. Jeez, dude. And yeah, dude, and that like started the Project Blue Book or whatever. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
And you know where flying saucer comes from?
No.
It's like a misnomer. Once again, this podcast is brought to you by American Giant's best-selling premium slub tees, dude. Freaking iconic silhouettes, dude. Nothing looks better than a good silhouette. You look the most jacked when you're silhouetted, dude. And when I put this shirt on, dude, and I'm wearing it right now, you can literally see me wearing it, dude. I'm really not this jacked, but I look very jacked. thanks to this quality care, this friggin' silhouette, dude, or what am I saying? Not silhouette, dude, but the slub, dude. That's what I'm saying, dude. These slub tees that are built to last, quality cotton, dude, made right here in the USA, made right here in Los Angeles, dude. I'm wearing it. I can't get enough of it. I'm fired up that it's got the pocket tee here, dude. I can put my shades in there, dude. I can put like a freaking, you know, if it was a movie and my dank GF needed like, you know, a match or something like that, you know, if we were going to save the day by like, you know, or like a some clippers to cut the time bomb or something like that to save the day, dude, so the Zeppelin doesn't go down, dude. That's where I'd be keeping that, dude. Legit stuff, dude. American Giant, dude. I'm wearing it all the time. I wear it outdoors. It's my go-to tee, dude. It's durable, man. I'm active in it. So 100% American-grown cotton, dude. The freaking, this company, dude, they spent years obsessing over the fabric and tested several variations until they found the perfect one. And I'm on, and it's on me. And I'm telling you, dude, it's freaking straight up perfect, dude. So get your new favorite tee at American-Giant.com, dude. That's American-Giant.com today when you use promo code DANK for 15% off your first order. That's 15% off when you use code DANK at American-Giant.com. Treat yourself, dude. Podcast is also brought to you by Talkspace. The world is racing to get back to normal and start meeting up in person again, but after the year we've all had, getting back to feeling normal takes time. And, you know, you can be feeling overwhelmed and you might not know who's the right person to talk to. But honestly, you can take a little bit to find out, and Talkspace has made that easier because they match you up with the person who's right for you. You know, when you're at a low point, you might feel alone. Over 50% of Americans struggle with mental health, and it's good to have someone who's a pro to talk to. And on this podcast, you know, I like to give advice to young guys. And, you know, I found in my experience, you know, a lot of dudes and buddies, you know, we feel comfortable sort of confiding in each other, you know, but having someone who can really give you the professional advice for any, something that you're having a difficulty working through or long-term, short-term, whatever it be, develop the relationship with the right therapist for you. You can do it today from your device at home. It's a great tool. So it's got thousands of licensed therapists and they're available to match with you. So, it starts by just getting online. So, they can talk about stuff, you know, anxiety, depression, relationships more. So, help you start feeling better today. And honestly start feeling better with a single message by, going to Talkspace. So match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code DANK. That's $100 off when you use code DANK at Talkspace.com. Hmm. So there was like a naval pilot who said he saw like 9 flying things, but he said, he didn't say they were flying saucers. He said they flew like if you threw a saucer across a pond.
Mm.
That's how they were moving. So like flying saucer like that.
I still don't get it.
I mean, I can't really picture what a saucer is. Aaron, what's a saucer, dude? Like a kitchen
thing?
Isn't
it a small plate that you put on your cups?
Okay. So he said if you threw one of those across the pond and it skipped, that was their flight pattern, like skipping around like,
right.
Like that.
Oh, interesting.
As opposed to like, ooh, like a saucer thing.
Oh, so it's not like a disc.
Exactly.
So how's it different?
He was referring to the flight pattern. He referring to the method of flight as opposed to the craft.
Interesting.
Yeah, the vessel.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because the sightings, they do seem to move in like erratic ways where they'll go like right angles. And
exactly, like it defies physics.
Yeah. And a lot of people say that they're like, they move that way because they're like bending time and space, you know, because like the craft can, you know, basically move through, you know, in like Interstellar when they get like portal,
mm-hmm.
that wormhole.
Yes.
It's like they can manipulate time and space that way. So that's how they can move super quick.
So gnarly.
Like
that.
So it's not like propulsion. It's like a anti-gravity something.
It's gnarly technology, dude.
Yeah.
And it means they could be here at any time. Any given, they could probably travel back in time, I guess, is what that.
Dude, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, can you travel? You can probably travel maybe back, but never forward. Or no, maybe you can go forward, but never back.
I don't know. I mean, time's a flat circle, according to Matthew McConaughey. So
it's a good call.
We should ask him.
And he's now the minister of Stoke in Texas, so yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
What is he the minister of? Culture.
Culture.
Yeah. Dude, that's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's very gnarly, bro.
I had a theory too, though.
Yes.
It could be military. Like, there was a they were working on military, whatever. And they accidentally, like, got this dude and put him on the mend. And then, I don't know. Because he did see he did say human-like figure, so I don't know.
Could be, like, CIA-type shit or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Out there. I know. Then there's another, the more practical or cynical theory is that they were in a logging contract and need to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then they got out of it.
Yeah. That's probably most likely what happened.
It's like sometimes there's always like that. There's the simplest answer is the real answer always.
Yeah. Dude, if they're like, those guys are all having conversations, they're like, dude, Travis is like, dude, can I like stop with this story? And they're like, dude, the contract, man. He's like, it's 1975. And it's like, still, we'd have to like, you know.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. So long ago. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like Statue of Limitations. Nah, dude. Not bad.
They just were trying to get out of a logging contract.
The other guy, the prankster guy's like, I'll drop a tree on you, bro.
Yeah.
While you're sleeping, I don't give a fuck.
Dude, I love the prank. So in the movie, everyone thinks that they killed Travis. Mm-hmm. And they go to the prankster guy who hates Travis. And he's like, you seem like you don't really get along with Travis. He's like, well, you sense correctly. I hate him. He sucks. Did you kill him? Did I kill him? Heck, no. It's like, dude, I don't think he'd behave that way.
Yeah, exactly. He's like so petulant. He's like rolling a joint while the cop's like interviewing him. He's like, dude, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
But I guess those guys, like, it's a different personality. You're taking like contract work, working alone in the woods.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you're not working at Starbucks at the airport. You know, you don't have to pass a job interview. The guy, Mike, just needs to be like, can I rely on you to show up, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's about it, dude. It's pretty freaking gnarly, dude. I mean, we broke it down how it is. I'd say you could skip the movie, dude. You just heard the pod. You know what's up, dude. Cruise out to Flagstaff, try to spot some UFOs. I remember I thought I saw a UFO one time in Palm Springs, but it was a movie premiere.
Oh,
the spotlights in the sky. I was like, there's UFOs. My brother was like, no, dumbass. Independence Day's opening up this weekend. And I was like, still has to do with aliens, though.
Dude, I was at Disneyland with my mom. Did you hear about SpaceX was like running experiments in the sky with like rockets and stuff? Did you ever hear about that?
Dude, I saw one in WeHo one night, like a rocket, just like a Falcon 7 or some shit, just flying through. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. The one I saw, it may have been the same one. It's probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It looked like a flashlight in the sky. And it was like moving around. And then it created like this sort of cloud behind it.
That's kind of a similar one to what I saw.
It looked totally like a UFO.
Yeah.
Because it's like pitch black.
Yeah.
And there's just this, everyone's like, what the fuck is that? And Elon's like, oh, my bad. I was testing out a rocket.
Dude, exactly. Elon's like, oh, whoops. It was Wednesday for me. So sorry, everyone. Yeah. I was going to space with my boy Bezos.
Yeah.
Dude. So, I mean, technically an unidentified flying object just means it's a UFO. It just means it's not identified. Like it could be a, you know, like with Betty and Barney Hill, like they were in the like that's the Cold War era. It could have been a Russian craft, could have been whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the time stuff and all that. And of course, their well detailed story is different. But like, I guess as opposed to like someone who sees a craft in the sky, it could be man made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the AR-71 Blackbird or some shit cruising around.
Yeah.
SR-71.
Thank you, Aaron. Freaking beast.
Dude, that's a sick band, by the way. SR-71, I guess.
I don't know them.
Dude, they fucking slap.
They had one hit. I forget what it was called.
Are they as good as Jimmy Eat World, dude?
Fuck no.
That's what I like hearing. All right, what are the best alien movies, dude? Go.
Independence Day?
Yeah, probably the best.
Alien?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big alien.
Predator
aliens
technically counts. Predator is an alien.
Yep.
Dude,
The Thing, Kurt Russell, my boy.
Yep.
The Thing.
Technically, It is an alien, but that movie sucks.
Yep.
The movie sucks.
Yep.
What's the one with Natalie Portman that came out recently?
Oh, dude.
Oh,
it's like...
Not Arrival, that was the other one.
Not a very good one, Arrival.
Yeah, I thought Arrival was boring.
Yeah. Yeah, the Natalie Portman one, it's that by that director, like Garfield or something, or Andrew something?
No, it's the guy who just did Dune. I think he also did Arrival.
Andrew Garner.
Oh,
I can't wait to see Dune. God, what was that movie? Does it start with an A? It's like Destruction or something like that, or... Take a word for that.
Isn't Sphere an alien movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that when they go to the middle of the Earth?
They're in the bottom of the ocean.
It's a sick ass movie. Yeah. Is my boy Ed Harris in that?
It's Samuel L. Jackson, Dustin Hoffman.
Annihilation.
Sharon Stone. Annihilation.
Annihilation, yeah.
I think Sharon Stone's in it too.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
I need to rewatch this.
Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah, Quiet Place.
That's an alien movie.
Those are sick. I mean.
Oh, sorry.
Mars Attacks.
I like Mars Attacks.
Annihilation was directed by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina.
That's it, Garland, yes. Ex Machina is great.
He wrote it anyway.
Annihilation. He also did that show Devs.
Yeah.
I saw Annihilation with my dad. My dad's pretty like, he likes Bruce Willis action movies.
Yes.
We saw Annihilation. I was like, Dad, what'd you think? He's like, stupid.
Dude, exactly, bro. Dude, hilarious, bro. Dude, I went to go see Cold Mountain, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
That was like the last movie I remember seeing with my dad in the theater. And he comes out and he goes, that's why I don't go to the theater.
It was amazing, dude.
It was kind of boring.
It's kind of boring, dude.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring. And there's like a few questionable scenes, like the weird orgy scene with Hoffman and Philip Seymour. And
that really stuck out to me because I was probably like 12 when I saw it.
Pretty young, too.
And the girl sort of like bends over the table, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was gnarly. It was like very tempting. It was very like Greek, I feel like. Like this is an Odyssey or some shit. And I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anything more on Travis Walton?
I wrote down notes. Yeah, I think so. Lucchese, our buddy Dan Lucchese.
Oh, yeah, what's his theory?
His debunking thing that he like listened to a podcast or something, and their conclusion was that it was like a prank, and just prank that went too far. But I don't know. After listening to it on Rogan and the lie detector tests and the hypnosis, I'm gonna say I believe him. I think he got abducted by aliens. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to believe him. I don't know if I do, but I want to.
Me too.
I want to.
Is it possible like all seven of them ate somewhere together before they went home, before this all happened, and like something was bad in the food and they just all had this delusion?
Dude, it could be. Yeah, they talk about that. They say like lack of sleep, inherent stress. They were under contract. They were working out there. This was in December in the fucking woods. Who knows, dude? They could have got bit by some bugs or some shit.
Yeah. But Travis said in the Joe Rogan podcast that no drugs were found in his system.
Okay.
That's
I like
thing.
That. No, I choose to believe, dude. Innocent until proven guilty, bro.
Yeah. That's the thing about these stories is like, if it did happen to him and he came out about it, like the amount of ridicule...
Oh, dude.
You guys, crazy. But, you know, it is like an insane thing to claim.
It is, yes. It's like outlandish to go and do something like this. But, you know, it'd be otherworldly. Dude, well, shit, man. Chad, you're a freaking beast for coming on here and dropping the knowledge, bro.
We got to do more conspiracy stuff. This is fun.
We need to do some more. I think UFOs is a good place to start. I think we got to do a few more, maybe unsolved cases or something like that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we could dive more into UFOs. We could do.
I'm down.
You know. I don't even know what other stuff is there. Stuff on the moon.
Yeah, I love that shit.
You know, what's going on the dark side of the moon?
Moon stuff, government stuff, dude.
Yeah.
What's going down, dude? The powers that be.
Yeah.
But I love alien stuff, too. I love ancient aliens. I love all of it.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. That's the thing. It really is fun to hear about this stuff. And, you know, Travis says he shares his story, too, because he's now wants other people to talk about it. Because he just like you were saying earlier, like, would you tell... Your first question, would you tell someone if you got abducted?
It's
like, no, but that's why you kind of take someone to step up and tell the story and more people can come forward.
Yeah.
You know, and there might be some liars in the mix, but, you know.
Well, that's the thing. And aliens, too, in terms of conspiracies, it's fun. It's pretty benign.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really have, you know, whether you believe it or not, I mean, I don't really think there are any sort of, you know, no one can be like, oh, dude, you're an alien guy? Like... I don't know. There's no consequences from, I think.
I don't think so. It seems pretty personal. I mean, like, the victim is just the person it happened to. Everyone else. Yeah. I mean, I guess unless someone got duped, but it's like, it's not too crazy.
It's not too politicized. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, enough of that, dude.
Yeah.
All right, let's just do a few cues and then bone out. Are you cool?
Let's bone.
Let's go, dude. All right, dude. Shredder, what up, dude? Who's winning in a 1v1 fight, a grizzly or a silverback gorilla, dude? Much love, TJ.
That's a tough quash.
I'm going grizzly, bro.
Yeah?
I think the silverback's more intelligent, but a grizzly, I think, is the most beastly thing on land.
Yeah. I think it's got size.
It has the sharp claws, too.
And the claws. I think it dominates in size and claws.
And teeth.
Yeah. And teeth. And teeth. Yeah, like a silverback is a very strong.
Yeah.
Can take some shots, but it's like going to punch the gorilla a lot.
Yeah.
But it's really not going to do damage.
Yeah, I feel like if the silverback were to win, it'd have to like take its jaw and rip it off.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's what would have to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we're all going grizzly.
Aaron? Yeah, I'm going grizzly.
Nice. Aaron, did you have anything to follow up before we get to the one more question about Travis Walton or alien abductions? I'd like to hear your thoughts, dude.
I don't know. I tend to believe that there are aliens out there. I don't think they have been here. But I'm willing to be wrong about that. That's fine.
Yeah. Nice. I hope I'm kind of wrong, dude. I'd be scared. Although I guess Travis said we shouldn't. They're chillers.
Just what up?
Yeah. I mean, that's good. All right. Here we go, dude. Strutter, what up? I was listening to the Psycho Silo ep. Nice. And I was fired up on the idea of hesitating something. I wanted to... heisting something. Dude, he spelled a little different. Heisting something. I want to heist my older brother's Fight Club poster from his room. How do you suggest I do it without him thinking it's me? The operation will be easy. I can just jack it when he's gone, but how do I get away with it? Thank you, Walter.
Does he want to put it up in his room?
That's what I think.
Hmm.
Or just like take joy from his brother, which seems unchill. I would like to operate under the narrative that he wants to just put it up in his room and enjoy the viewing that Fight Club poster, which I think is... You have to think in advance and get, if you don't already have a poster up, you need to put up a poster a few weeks in advance. So long con this, you know, a poster of whatever it is. And then when you jack your brother's poster, you put it under that poster. And then you tell him, stay out of my room, like he probably says to you. And then when you're just in your room chilling, you can observe the Fight Club poster, see Tyler Durden looking ripped.
So you're saying
Shawshank him.
Shawshank it, exactly.
Right. So you have a poster over the Fight Club poster for when he's walking around, but then when he's gone, you can look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I was thinking of something along the same lines of, but I was thinking more just so we could look at it all the time.
Yes.
Is just replace the Fight Club poster with like a different poster and just put the Fight Club poster up in your room and just see if you can play with his mind a little bit where he's like, wow. Dude, that's my Fight Club poster. And it's like... What are you talking about? And then he's like, dude, you've had that GoldenEye poster up in your room for like a year.
That's
now.
A GoldenEye poster is sick, too.
Yeah. Just fuck with him.
That'd be amazing. Dude, that'd be the best way to get back. Because, yeah, the thing is, he could go buy a Fight Club poster.
Yeah.
But maybe his brother will say, if you get the same thing, I'll take it down.
Yeah. But I think he's got to make his brother think he's insane.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. You need to gaslight your bro.
Yeah.
That's a great call, dude. That's a good ass call. That's a great call. Those are subtle, legit mind tricks.
Yeah.
You could also, you know, in China, sometimes with art, they'll have it on a scroll and you'll take it out to observe it. So like if someone comes over your house for a dinner or something, and you know how you'd turn a show on to watch it later, instead of putting on a show, you'd go, okay, let's all observe this dank ass, you know, whatever sort of painting it is or calligraphy or some sort of drawing, you know. Undo the scroll and just straight up post up and look at it and enjoy it for a set amount of time rather than having it up as decor.
Mm.
So he could really honor the Fight Club poster that way too, which could be sick.
That sounds really sick.
But I really like your plan a lot more.
Because
it's a two for one.
I like the gaslighting. Yeah. I like, you know, just being like, what are you talking about, bro?
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's got to hold the line.
Yes.
He's got to hold the line.
Yes.
He cannot budge.
Yeah.
And he's probably got to get his parents on board, too.
Yeah, you got to get mom and dad on board, too.
And then it could really fuck his brother up.
Yeah, you'll have long-term side effects, dude. You could really send him off the deep end here, so be careful, dude. Yeah. But honestly, dude, I mean, let's go. Is that not Fight Club, dude? There's dual personalities going on in there. There's a lot of stuff, so it's on brand.
Bro, I've never even seen GoldenEye.
It reminds me of a time where a buddy, we've told you this before, but one of our buddies passed out on Cabo one day and slept a night and didn't go out.
Yeah.
And we told him that it was the next trip a year later in Cabo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're like, "Whoa, dude, it's been a whole year." Like, what, he's like, "Shut the fuck up." And but like none of us would stop saying it.
Yeah.
And we're like, "Yeah, man, dude, you had a crazy school year, dude. You played good in that soccer game, dude."
That would freak me out.
It was amazing, dude.
I had a lot of times in college where I would rage, you know, I would rage super hard like during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Pass out. And then I think I would wake up at like night. And I think it was like the next day.
Yeah.
And you wake up and you're like, wait a second, it's the same day? It totally messes with you.
Yeah, such a strange space to be in.
Yeah, because it feels like you got a full night's sleep,
mm-hmm.
but it's still nighttime and you're like, it's like 8 p.m.
And your boys are going out.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, I guess I got a cruise.
But it was cool because it was like, I was like, oh, I got more time to party.
It's tight. Exactly.
Sick.
It's kind of a good move, but also dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so be careful, kids. Dude, Chad, thank you so much. You're an absolute beast, dude.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Dude, this was so much fun. We got to do some more, bro. So until next time, dude, so stoked. Thank you, Chad Kroger. Thank you, Aaron on the Sticks. Beast as always, dude.
Legend.
Any question, comment, suggestions, stratterwilsontreads@gmail.com. Dude, all right, dude. Friggin' late, dude.